The 10th article for the People's Bill of Rights, and the 10th article is one that you see out there a lot, and but not in the condition that it should be, or under the conditions that it should be. You've heard arguments for the state, you know, these gun control laws, which there can be no gun control laws. But, you know, it's they'll come out, well, if it ain't in the Constitution, the gun control, well, they have the power to do it. You know, you've seen the laws down in California, the transgender laws, all of this shit, man. You've seen it. And let's look at the 10th article. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, this is where the, you know, people say that the Bill of Rights, that doesn't apply to the states. Bull pucky. It's not true. It absolutely does. The 10th article makes it clear. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. So this is the power is not given to the Fed, nor prohibited by it to the states. What's that mean? Nor prohibited to it by the states. That means if a state like California starts attacking the second article to the People's Bill of Rights, which is a part of that Constitution, it is the sworn duty of those bureaucrats in Washington. Well, we've got occupation force. Again, it's hard to talk about these things when things have been turned 180 degrees around and they're not what they should be. Or prohibited by it to the states. Gun control is prohibited by the Constitution to the states via the Bill of Rights, the second article in particular. See, it says that, well, let's read it. We've gone over the second article already, but let's just take a look here. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, that means that it is prohibited by the Constitution through the Bill of Rights for the states to touch it. That's why, you know, I hear these arguments all the time. Well, the Bill of Rights isn't for the states, it's the individual states. Bull. The states are formed as a union under the central contract known as the Bill of, the Constitution. Attached to that Constitution are these Bill of Rights, and it is prohibited by the Constitution for the states to, I mean, what California is doing is a blatant violation. You know, we've talked about the civil rights movement of the 60s and how that government, boy, didn't they just jump on that? Man, they wanted to help those poor black people, didn't they? Or did they just want to try to set a precedence for violating the Bill of Rights? Each one of them, you know, again, by the states, the Constitution already guaranteed the rights of the black people in the South under the Bill of Rights. And not all it needed was for the Bill of Rights to be enforced. But they let the, you know, the states, by the federal government, see, the federal government, there was nothing new, that they didn't have to write civil rights laws, these privileges granted not enumerated and not litigated through the Bill of Rights, so that, you know, that they can make a law that favors somebody that does violate a right of another that's never been litigated through a jury. And this has become rampant across the country. This is a way we ended up with a million infringements against our rights. It says states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. But again, this is where this statement, this binds it all together. And the people who wrote these articles, they were ingenious in how they put together our Bill of Rights. Because, what they'll jump on is the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. The power is to, you know, do anything that you want to the individual national. Well, the states can do it, just the federal government can't. No, the federal government can't do it because of the Bill of Rights. In the common law, and the state government cannot do it because of that very federal Bill of Rights. This says that the federal Bill of Rights will forbid the states from, that takes away any power the states might think they would have had to violate the Bill of Rights as written in the federal Constitution. And to the states respectively, there was nothing, there's really nothing because the states were chartered under the Constitution. And each one of them, the state constitutions, had to pretty much read verbatim to the federal constitution, the Bill of Rights in each state, except for mine. It used to be one page, and it read pretty much right along the lines of the federal Bill of Rights. But since we had a takeover in this country from the Californians, who invaded here, the communists from California, Then they set up their citizens committees and all because it was all, I mean, the way they come at you. I mean, just like we were talking earlier about the blacks in the South, were they being wrong? Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's that problem reaction solution deal. You know, who created the problem? Governments. And then you have a reaction because, I mean, you can need a reaction so that, you know, they bring it out in the public just like, in the South, you know, the wrongs being done, you know, you can't walk into a restaurant, you got a separate bathroom, you know, all of the outrages, all of the violations of the Bill of Rights. And then they say, well, this is a terrible problem. We got to make some civil rights laws. No. All you have to do is enforce the 10th article to the People's Bill of Rights. As the federal government was sworn, actually, when they raise their hand, when they take their oaths, they're swearing that they're going to enforce that Constitution, aren't they? Or did I miss something here? Now, when they swear they're going to enforce that Constitution, if the marches happen like they did in the South, and then they show that the black people are being treated like third class citizens, you know, that not allowed to vote or whatever, you know, not allowed to use the same restaurant. I mean, treated like a separate class. Well, that just cannot be because it is a violation of the Bill of Rights. But rather than say going to somewhere like Alabama and Georgia and saying, well, you're in violation of the Bill of Rights. We got a 10th article violation against you here. The federal Bill of Rights protects these black folks here. And you are prohibited by that from violating their rights as guaranteed under that Bill of Rights. It's that simple. But I mean, the attacks that we've seen upon the Bill of Rights and how they've been perpetrated are just endless. I mean, you can tell that it was the main notion as soon as the ink dried to get rid of it, because the aristocrats did not want it, because, man, they just could not stand the idea of just a common plebe, you know, a coolie, a peasant, a peon, walking down the street having the same rights as a free gentleman. As an aristocrat, please, how can you have a society like that? And then, I mean, the one thing you should realize is that, you know, around the time when the Bill of Rights was written, I mean, you there was black slaves, there were white slaves, there were white people that were just the poor whites. You think that they had any more rights or leeway within the law than a poor black man? Because I'm here to tell you they didn't. I mean, under the Articles of Confederation that the so-called Revolutionary War, the hijacked uprising called the Revolutionary War, was fought under, unless you owned property, I mean, you had no rights. I mean, it was written right in the 6th article. If you held no property, you had no rights. Only people that had property were rights, and this is what they intended to carry over when they, you know, surrendered. When the sword was surrendered to George Washington from King George, he was surrendering his charter, his authority in these colonies over to that army, that government that had put itself together, had just, you know, materialized in the middle of an uprising. I promise you people, there was no voting going on. They just said, well, we're the rich guys, and so we're making a new government. That's why you had the Bill of Rights. Because the people who had fought that war, they weren't the rich guys. Never is the rich guys fighting the war. I mean, old Georgie Washington got some hole shot in his coat. There was a handful, and I mean a little prickly handful, that actually stood any hazard. The rest of them ran and hid and conducted their business, did business with the king right up until their individual states were declared. And, you know, they declared the Declaration of Independence for that full year from 1775, April 1775, until July 4th, 1776. They were still doing business with the king, who had money. That's who they'll do business with, and still the same today, and we all know it. Excuse me a second. These allergies are unbelievable here. At any rate, like I said, the 10th article, like all of the other articles of our Bill of Rights, have been taken out separately and on occasion, and they are taken out separately on occasion to try to push an agenda here. And it is a collective agenda. It is a government agenda. It has one thing to do with the individual American nationals who the Bill of Rights pertains to. It doesn't pertain to the government, except that you will not. It's prohibitions on the government. Other than that, it's not for the government to use to do this, and you can't take one article out. That's another thing that really gets me about all this. You can't take one article out and use it for a nefarious purpose, because the articles are put together as a law procedure. And it would be just, you know, like, you see it all the time. I mean, after the 14th Amendment was enacted illegally, constructed and acted illegally, that's when they started. Well, you have, you know, the line out in the equal justice under the law. That's pretty much what it comes to. And, you know, they talk about whatever they want. It's so that they could cherry pick what they wanted to give out as civil rights to one group to turn another group against them. It was all about dividing and conquering us. But again, you've seen like the Fourth Amendment, you'll see, well, unreasonable searches, you know. But I'm telling you, if you have a Fourth Amendment violation, you have a Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment violation, period. You have to, because when you deny due process of the, when you deny any right, any of the maximums in the Bill of Rights, you buy the whole load. I mean, so let's say you deny somebody their right to assembly, you come and you broke up their assembly. You deny them their first article right to assembly. And see that, you know, the second article, it's pretty much the only one that really stands alone, because it's the enforcement mechanism in the Bill of Rights. It is how we enforce our law. The Third Amendment, it's something they threw in there for the times that are coming ahead of us, because we will see soldiers being quartered in our homes. They'll cut, well, hell, they're taking whatever they want. They just walk up and take it without warrant. But you get a fourth article. I mean, you've got that first article violation. Somebody stopped you from assembling. Well, when they did that, they seized you from doing what you wanted to do. You were doing what you want to do. There's your fourth article violation. They denied you due process of the law because they seized you without warrant, and they, you know, broke up your assembly. So it's all coming together now. And once they denied you due process of the law, they've denied you the fifth article, which guarantees you the due process of the law. And once they've denied you that, once you've denied the due process is the Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Amendment. So all of those have been denied. They don't just stand alone. I mean, they would like to separate them and say, we're going to grant certain privileges, 10th article privileges, to this group over here, and hopefully it'll piss this group over here off, and maybe they'll kill each other. And again, the 14th Amendment, which is unlawful, it was unlawfully constructed, it was unlawfully enacted. It guarantees, oh boy, it guarantees, and I've heard, this is one of the first things you hear when you start really getting into the law, because everybody's jumping on that 14th Amendment BS. Man, what a sham that people just jumped into, just like Trump. But they jump right into it. I got a right to do equal access to the law. Well, you know, if everybody gets no access to the law, that's equal. If everybody gets a little bit of access, that's equal. Now, isn't it? And that, I mean, the things that people fall for, I mean, it truly amazes me. And reserved to the states respectively, that allowed the people, I mean, or the people, I mean, it's all reverted to the people, because what this says is that the states can't touch your common law rights, your common law jurisdiction, your common law courts, which have all been removed. This is why this is an occupation in this country. But at any rate, if the people wanted to make, you know, this is how we really started down this trail to where we're at today, and I really hate to think about it, but I mean, if you wanted to make your, you know, city ordinances, your town, your county ordinances, you know, so long as they didn't violate the rights of an individual, which is impossible because they do at every instance. If you're not operating within the common law, you're violating it. But people being people, and they needed their avenue out, so I'm sure they, I mean, hard to tell who even threw that in there, because it was, I mean, prohibited to the states. That should have stopped it right there. Are reserved to the states respectively. No, the states reserved no power. The states can only have power through consent of the governed. That means the people have to, we've talked about it before. You know, you want to, let's say, garbage on the street. Everybody, you know, people just throwing garbage down on the damn street. And then one person's picking it all up because they can't stand garbage on the street. And garbage on the street really ain't a good idea. Especially when you start a little garbage, you get a lot of garbage. Next thing you know, you're living in filth and it becomes a health hazard. Oh, now it's a health hazard. So we got to make some kind of law against throwing your goddamn garbage in the street, because I guess people are just too ignorant or backward. I don't think they used to be. But I think that they have morphed into, through this total neglect of responsibility we see in this country, to people who would just fill the streets up with trash. I see it in the woods all the time. People just dump their garbage out in the woods. Well, it costs too much to dump it up at the dump. I mean, you got, and that shouldn't be either, because why does it cost too much to dump it up at the dump? Because, well, man, you got EPA, all of these agencies with all of these rules for dumping some damn garbage. And then it ends up costing you so much to dump garbage, you can't afford to dump your garbage, so people go out and dump it in the woods. Now, boy, that worked well, didn't it? But, I mean, it's all been designed around the pursuit of mammon, and we understand that. But back to the matter at hand. So you got this garbage problem in the street. Now, you can make a law saying, man, you get caught throwing garbage in the street. That's a $10 fine. You come and pay it to, you go down to the justice court and pay it to the justice of the peace. But you don't have to. I mean, all of these laws that were made were subject, they was all, just like your taxes. You're going to love this, people. It was all voluntary. Everything that you've seen was had to all be voluntary. There was no other way it could be, because it couldn't operate within the common law. It couldn't be prosecuted within the common law, which the people were guaranteed. Excuse me. It's like we talked about the cuss jar in the bar. You know, everybody who cusses is going to throw a quarter in the kitty there, because we're trying to cut back on the cussing in the bar, and it's kind of a, you know, a little exercise in community, I suppose. But, you know, you start throwing a quarter in it, but when it comes the day when you say, hey, you cuss, put the quarter in, nah, I don't got a quarter extra, I need it for my drink. And, oh, then there's a penalty. When the penalty comes in for these administrative ordinances, because they're all they can be is policy and ordinances, they cannot be law, because the law for the people is the Bill of Rights. It's plain and clear. We're self-governing. But when you start with that penalty phase, then you're getting the government in a position to seize you and seize your property in violation of your fourth article right without due process of the law. Now, you could say, well, they could charge you and take you to court. They saw you throwing that piece of paper down, and they sure as heck did. But you know what? I can put them to the trouble. I can insist that, you know, one of you is going to step outside of being a city, county, or state actor. And you're going to have to come at me as a free national, in your capacity as an individual free national of this country. That means you're going to go down and you're going to fill out the proper paperwork for, if it's a civil claim, you're going to claim that me throwing that piece of garbage down there on the street did you some sort of civil damage that you claim to, that you're going to litigate and prove in a common law court. You can do that. But it's just between you and me. The state, the city, the county, those are entities. They're pieces of paper. And the sixth article guarantees the right to face our accusers. And, man, you put that piece of paper down, I can't talk to it. You see what I'm saying? There are, all through the Bill of Rights, it's emphasized that, you know, it's apart from the government. But they'll try to act like, you know, the only part the government was to play in it was they were to, I mean, when they gave their first oath, when they stand up there, was to make sure it was enforced. They were there to enforce it. Not to see if they could get around it, not to start whittling away at it and finally to remove it. They were, I mean, that's what they told us, or told our people back then. You're forming a government to more, make a more perfect union where your people's rights are absolutely, if we can find a way to enhance those rights, we're going to do it. And they have done exactly the opposite. And so we've ended up with exactly the opposite. We've ended up 180 degrees off of where we're supposed to be. So, again, the state actor, or, because that's all that they are, they are below the American national. They work for us. They're our lackeys, our flunkies. They've never liked it. I mean, one of the things back in the day when the transition was just going through, when they were removing the common law courts, I mean, I just used to love to say, hey, public servant. Call them, just public servant. You're my servant. I tell them, I would. And I mean, it was just, oh God, they hated it. And then when they finally got the admiralty into place and their administrative courts into place under the admiralty, I heard the first one tell me, not anymore. I'm telling you, this is the truth, people. And that was a fiduciary, office, but it had been subcontracted out. I'd figured out already how they were doing it. But it had been I worked for a contractor. I don't work for you, buddy. And that's where we're at today. It's all the fiduciary responsibility has been contracted out, but the people who contracted it out in your state, your city, your county, in the federal government, They knew that what they were doing was against the law because they were operating under a jurisdiction. They were putting a jurisdiction over the people that was forbidden because the Bill of Rights forbids it. The Bill of Rights makes it perfectly clear that every American national is entitled absolutely to nothing other than a common law jurisdiction. It is required that there be another person, a human being with a shape and form. Now somebody can go to court for a dead person and instead of them, but it had better be another American national. It cannot be any actor of the state, because the piece of paper again is an entity. It's nothing. It's not human. That's why when they put in the law dictionaries that a corporation is a human, is a person. No, they're not. I mean, this should have been the end of, no, smack right in the face. You know better than that, and we both know better than that, and we know what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to tell, this is so that you can prosecute me in an admiralty court using the color of law as a state actor. Exactly what my Bill of Rights was put in place to prevent, to forbid. And it should have been stopped right there, but the pettifogging mobo concepti lawyers and turners, the twisters of words, had already taken over. They had already removed our common law courts before the outrages you see day by day. It's just, I mean, if their court, they would have never tried it when the courts were in place, because we could have took them apart with using our common law and our jurisdictions, which are superior. There is no government jurisdiction superior to the common law. That's why, again, this is why we're seeing in this fight over the invasion, the reoccupation of our country by these foreigners. You're seeing when these people should be in the admiralty, because they're not American nationals. They have come here as an act of crime, which puts them right in the hands of the government, who is charged. One of the things we did charge them with was guarding our borders, guarding our sovereignty. And of course, now these people, while we have been had our common law removed, illegally, I mean, as an act of treachery, as an act of oppression, have had our common law removed. Well, man, they're here. Superior Court convened today. Oh, really? Yeah. And they told the state Supreme Court they don't have any jurisdiction and they don't have any power, that they're going to make a ruling that goes over the Supreme Court. And yes, they can, but they can't do it. Only you and I can do it. It's being bastardized. It's being illegally used in an illegal manner, because a state actor cannot convene a common law court. Only a judge, duly elected judge for the county or state or municipality can. Or the sheriff. The sheriff can convene a common law court. He can convene a common law grand jury. But state actors cannot. That judge sitting in that superior court that said, oh, you got to let this little invader stay because you're violating his rights, that he should be hung today. I guarantee you I could take him into a court of common law and put a rope around his neck. Easy beans. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. And that's going to wind it up for the 10th article. And tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about how, again, today we started talking about how they all intertwine and enhance one another. I mean, it's an operating system, and you don't just take one of them and set it aside and say we're going to have a to do about this. And when the government does that, they are completely outside their jurisdiction. They are taking up one of your rights and pretending that they can litigate a single right outside the procedure that right is a part of, is the best way I can explain it.